you talked about earlier today about limousine liberals. And of course, I'm not impressed by the road that they would like to take us on, which seems like it's going towards global government. Nor am I impressed by the administration's primrose path.
Yes, well, this is this all goes to show how difficult it is to do this business of government properly. I'd like to apologize to your listeners for my use of the term. What I meant to characterize, what I was trying to characterize as wealthy liberals, and we were talking about the government of Cambridge, Massachusetts, which is an unusual and a special place. There's nothing wrong with being a liberal, and there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. But that was a handy way to characterize a set of shared attitudes that I saw in the controversy we were talking about.
The facts and figures are just enormous. This is enormous information flow now. We're just bogged down in data. I get, stacks of it every day.
Mm-hmm, and you haven't got time to read it all.
No, I mean, if I read all day long, I couldn't read it all.
Mm-hmm.
So one has to be, selective in what they read.
Right.
One particular book that came across my desk in the past couple of days was one called Times 17 by a gentleman out of San Francisco named Gareth Penn. Have you heard of him?
Have I heard of Gareth Penn?
Yes.
Well, Gareth Penn has been the minor bane of my existence, I guess, 7 or 8 years now. In fact, when you called and I recalled when my wife described the peculiar paranoid manner in which you approached the conversation, I suspected that I was likely to have a conversation about that. I don't know why you decorated this with a stuff with that at-large representation.
No, I'm curious about, this particular book. Of course, Gareth Penn is making claims that you are in, according to Gareth Penn.
Well, you put me in an odd position, especially in an interview of this kind, but I'll give you a couple of words about it. there's a series of unsolved murders, mm-hmm. and the victims have relatives and mourners.
Yeah.
And they haven't got justice. Mr. Penn started out, it seems to me, with a fairly courageous enterprise when he thought he was onto something. But he's wrong. I don't know where he got it wrong, and I can't possibly understand the stuff I have read that he's done. But I think the person you want to have on the phone is somebody from the California Department of Justice or the FBI, which is where I went to when I finally figured out what his postcards were about.
Now, I had talked to Gareth Penn, and in writing down your phone numbers, the last three digits in Morse code, according to him, spells out your monogram, OHM. Did you happen to get your telephone by selection rather than at random?
No, I called up the phone company and said I want a phone.
Mm-hmm. Now, he's talked about the number that you had in Cambridge, and it was the...
I've never asked for a telephone number by number. You call the phone... I think it works the same way here as it works on the coast. You call the phone company and you say, I'd like a phone at this address, and they tell you this is what the number is, and that's what the number is.
You said that the odds were 217,000 to 1, but I really don't know. I have never met you or Gareth Penn. But one thing that Gareth Penn says that you are...
I'm honestly... Let me explain. We're talking about a tremendous personal and public tragedy in California that I know only what one can read in the papers about, and it was a long time ago.
You were never in San Francisco during that period of time?
During that period of time?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't even remember what the dates were.
Well, I think he was claiming that the Zodiac killings occurred between 1966 and 1981.
Yeah.
And he had, apparently he's done 4, 5, 6 years of research.
As I said, it's absolutely extraordinary kind of monomaniacal quest.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand I don't understand the stuff I get. It's deeply disturbing to me. It'd be more disturbing if it were somebody who knew me who were onto this. But as far as I know, I've had nothing to do with him. I have no idea how it started.
Actually, he's very impressed by your intelligence. Quite impressed. In fact, that's where I found out, about you. But I am interested in the city manager form of government. I am interested in government. That is the major topic of this show, almost night after night.
Yeah.
And he considers you to be...
Now, wait a minute.
A genius.
Wait a minute. Either you want to talk about what I know something about and what I do, or you want to use that as an excuse to get me on the air with your listeners and talk about something much more interesting about which I know nothing. Why don't we pick one and not confuse people?
Well, I don't think the people are really confused. I just wanted to get into, this particular book because it was, you were the subject of it for some 370 pages. Have you seen the book as of yet?
No.
It's most interesting. It gets into, of course, the Zodiac. It gets into a lot of terms that I really don't understand because I haven't, been raised or educated as an engineer or a mathematician.
Well, I guess I'm still a little mystified why you're talking to me that rather than the people who know all about the catastrophe that book pretends to be about. There are people in California.
One of the individuals was a survivor.
Excuse me?
I said one of the individuals was a survivor. And had written a police drawing of the individual who attempted to kill him. And then
I'm not going to try this case with you on the radio by remote control from my kitchen. Yeah, the California Department of Justice, there's an FBI, there's a San Francisco Police Department, there are local police departments around there, all of whom are full of professionals who would give their left arm to solve these cases. They hate having unsolved murders if they're anything like the police professionals that I deal with. And those are the people you want to talk to about whether anybody has any leads on this series of cases.
Well,
Ken is a minor problem to me. It's very troubling because it scares me and it scares my family to be brought into this.
I would think so. If you were accused of being Jack the Ripper, I would think so. If you were accused of being a Jack the Ripper, I would think your family and you would be very concerned.
Yeah. On the other hand, if you were accusing me of plagiarizing my research, or teaching my students wrong things or something, which are probably things I've been guilty of in the past, that'd be upsetting in a very different way. I want to go back to the first point I made.
Yeah.
I can't do anything about it, practically speaking.
Yeah.
One thought that occurred to me, of course, was that I might be able to put a stop to it in court. And the advice they had was, well, if you haven't suffered any damages, you can't sue anybody. The lawyers I talked to said, well, if you lost your job, if people not reading your articles, if your students not listening to class, if your wife threatened to leave you, and I said, well, no. I mean, there's one thing we're afraid of, and that is that the tiny probability that that a relative or a friend of one of the victims of these murders.
Yeah.
What was that about?
What? No. Go on.
Thinks it's time to do some vigilante justice, so all I can do is hope that this stuff isn't persuasive. When I started getting mail from 10 years ago, I didn't know who it was from, and I didn't know what it was about. It was mysterious codes and ciphers and stuff that I don't understand, and I thought it was a college friend inviting me to play a game that I didn't know how to play, and I felt terrible that I was disappointing him.
Are you talking about a lawsuit? Are you talking about a lawsuit?
Well, that's what I'm trying to explain, that it turns out that there isn't much remedy in the criminal justice system,
mm-hmm.
and nothing has happened to me except for the nuisance of receiving this mail and the vague fear that haunts my family that some bereaved relative of the victim or something is just going to be so fed up with the failure of the criminal justice system today and persuaded by the argument Penn put forward that they would attack us or attack me.
How long has it been that he has been in pursuit of you with the accusation that
I don't know. As I said, you told me I have to talk about city management. If you wanted to do this interview on this subject, I probably would have declined because I think it's probably best for us. And as I said, I mean, me and my family, that just get as little attention as possible, and I do my part to give as little. It's on the order of 7 or 8 years ago that I finally got stuck with said Zodiac, and that rang a bell, and I said, Zodiac, that's those murders.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a whole package of stuff in the FBI and in Boston.
Of you with the accusation that
I don't know. As I said, you told me I have to talk about city management. If you wanted to do this interview on this subject, I probably would have declined because I think it's probably best for us. And as I said, I mean, me and my family, that just get as little attention as possible, and I do my part to give as little. It's on the order of 7 or 8 years ago that I finally got stuck with said Zodiac. And that rang a bell, and I said, Zodiac, that's those murders.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a whole package of stuff in the FBI and in Boston. And mm-hmm. I said, I think I'm getting mail from Zodiac. I don't know why.
You thought you were getting mail from the Zodiac killer.
I think that's what Penn was pretending to be in order to provoke me to do something
uh-huh.
incriminating.
Yeah.
But as I said, I don't know the details of this case. I know that it had to do with sending coded notes and ciphers and diagrams of some sort to the police or the newspapers or somebody. So I took this whole bundle of stuff down to the FBI, and I said, I don't know what this is, but it might be useful to you.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, it scares me. And a week later, they came back and said, we checked with our West Coast office, and we know all about this. I said, do I have anything to worry about? He said, no, as far as we can tell, Mr. Penn is harmless. He's not a threat to you. But we've been all through it with him, and thanks very much, and it doesn't really tell us anything.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, at that point I knew what it was, and it's been a matter of minor nuisances.
So it's really a minor nuisance and really shouldn't interfere with your career then?
Well, I'm pretty sure that it happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you.
Of course it shouldn't.
I want to thank you for being so honest and candid.
Now, you can tell me one thing, since I haven't read the book, and since you've taken advantage of me in the way you have, and you have read the book, and have become an expert in this matter, how did he...
No, that's an assumption on your part.
Get on to me in the first place?
I have not read the entirety of the book. I scanned it, and I took a look at the police drawing of the Zodiac killer, and then I took a look at a picture of you, which is in the book,
uh-huh.
with the aid of a little drawing and some glasses, and the picture of the Zodiac killer is identified by one of the victims who lived, and the picture of you looks very similar.
Well, first, we don't always have time to read the books we're talking about. I assume you checked with your California criminal justice system before you went working on the story too, right?
Well, as a two-way talk show host, you know, I get into some investigative reporting. I think it's certainly a story that deserves attention. It looks like a book that's going to be a top seller, and it's certainly one that would interest any mystery or murder buff.
I didn't catch the answer to my question, though. You did, of course, follow this up with the people who've been investigating the murders.
But I have just...
I don't know where this case is now, but...
Well, I don't know where the case is right now either. In fact, so far as I know, the FBI has just recently, you know, taken a look at this. Just in the past, few months. Since last summer, I believe.
That's what they told you?
Well, that's From my sources, that's what I hear, yes.
So anyway, coming back to my question, how did Penn first light on me? Of all the names in the world.
Well, I don't really know. Would you like to talk to him?
I don't think so. So far, he's been a little more than a source of annoyance and grief for me.
I mean, I could arrange that by pushing a button.
Mm-hmm. No, but as I said,
if
you read the book.
But it would be easy to, you know, to have on the author who wrote the book, the accused and the accuser.
Anything else I can do for you on representative government?
Huh? No, not on representative government tonight, but I mean, if you would like the opportunity to speak to Gareth Penn, the opportunity is awaiting you. It would take about 1.5 seconds.
Well, it's been maximally disagreeable to have been misled in the way you have about what this conversation is about. I hope I've done your listeners some good. And as I said, if we haven't got any more to say about something I do know something about, it's pretty late on the East Coast, and I think I'm going to have to go.
Okay. Good night. Thank you.